Screen presentation. This presentation will be posted for you to revisit and to share with others. If you have not been to our YouTube channel yet, or this is your first time, don't forget to subscribe, share with others. There are many messages already been posted, and we are posting regularly new sessions, seminars, and sermons. As well, you'll find the seminars and sermons by Bill Liversidge, some of them so powerful you don't want to miss it. And we have discovered new programs that we'll begin to post them that most people never heard them before. So it all will be available at your subscription. And don't forget to click the ring bell, and you guys will be notified as soon as the new program comes. And it's basically posting it regularly. As of now, I want to welcome everybody who joined us. I know that the Forest Falls Church in the mountains of San Bernardino is with us now. I want to thank you for the invitation, and always pleasure to come and to worship with you guys on the mountains. It's such a peaceful place. I always have fun and joy to be with you. And want to greet every one of you. Happy Sabbath to you. And I hope you're all doing well in this time of global crisis. So I'd like to have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin the message. Gracious, loving Father, we want to praise you and thank you for your holy Sabbath and for inviting us into your presence. As we begin this session, Father, this service, we claim the presence of the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to reveal your character to us in a way that it will be so irresistible. We will be drawn to you, Lord. Speak to us, Father, and bless everyone who need to hear your word, Father, who have come to hear your word, Lord. May they be blessed beyond their expectations. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, dear friends, the last couple of months brought great changes in our world. And we, as a Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we should not be taken by surprise. In the Testimonies to the Church, Volume 9, the Servant of God had written on page 11, "Soon in our world, great changes will take place, and the last day's events will be rapid ones." And then in Great Controversy, page 589, she basically described what is taking place today. The Lord said in Luke chapter 21, "The hearts of many will fail." You know why? Because of the spiritual blindness. People are blind to their need of the Savior of the world. That's why. And in Genesis chapter 3, when the whole story begins, curse was pronounced on this world. The Lord came to the garden, speaks to Adam and Eve after fall, "Cursed is the ground for your sake, and will produce thorns and thistles." And today, we will look into a miracle that took place in the cursed place, in the opening of the eyes of the blind. The story is found in Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And I invite you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And the story is found in verses 46 through 52. We're going to go through this short passage, and by the grace of God, we'll get many good points today. So the fact that this story is packed between two events makes it more significant and applicable to each one of us. Jesus is predicting his suffering and death in Jerusalem, the end of his earthly ministry, and his disciples are not getting it. It went over their heads. Moreover, they are so self-centered that two of them are seeking the highest position. And the rest of them are angry with them because they beat them to it, got ahead of them. So the other event, this is what actually preceding this story, and what is following this story is the triumphant entry to Jerusalem. People are shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And of course, the cleansing of the temple takes place and the cursing of the fig tree. It was the cursing of the self-righteousness that was enacted by the Jewish nation. And here in between, we find the story of a blind man as Jesus came and he leaves Jericho. Let's take a closer look at the story. Verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. Now, if you don't know, Jericho was a tropical city of wealth and luxury. It became a home for priests on the richer side. Jesus, with his disciples, came to Jericho, and now he is leaving Jericho. And as you know, Jericho associated with the curse. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 26, let's read it. Joshua chapter 6, verse 26, so it will be clear for those who are not familiar with the Bible, will be listening probably to the YouTube channel in future. For those precious souls, we will read this passage. Joshua 6:26 says, then Joshua made them take an oath at the time, saying, cursed before the Lord is the man who rises up and builds the city Jericho. With the loss of his firstborn, he shall lay its foundation, and with the loss of his youngest son, he shall set its gates. And in 1 Kings chapter 16, 1 Kings chapter 16, and verse 34, we find the fulfillment of this curse. In his days, Hiel the Bethelite built Jericho. He laid its foundation with the loss of Abiram, his firstborn, and set up its gate with the loss of his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by the Joshua, the son of Nun. So as we see, Jericho associates with the curse, it was fulfilled in 1 Kings 16:34. Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, the city of God, the city of peace. They journey from the cursed place to the city of God, the city of peace. What a symbol for us. And as he was leaving Jericho, Jesus is doing something very significant here. He reveals the purpose of his mission, and his mission is to rescue us from the curse that came as a result of sin. And what sin has brought upon human race, my friend? It's going to be a long list if we just put this all on the paper. But shortly, I will tell you this. Sin brought poverty, slavery, oppression, diseases, viruses, blindness, death, curse, separation, hatred, divorces, disaster, and many more things in our lives. Jesus came to this cursed place, Jericho, which is the symbol of our world today. For in Genesis chapter 3, verse 18, we have heard the words, cursed is the ground for your sake. So, and Jesus came to this cursed place with a mission. And his mission is described in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Take a look at this passage. Luke chapter 8, and, I'm sorry, 4, verse 18. And here's the mission of Jesus. He is quoting from the prophet Isaiah, that he actually put these words in the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to preach the favorable year of the Lord. So this is the mission of Jesus, recovery of the sight of the blind. Verse 46, we read in Mark chapter 10. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. So, the blind man, the beggar. Let's try to describe this blind man. The Greek actually indicates that he was a persistent beggar. And in English, even we could find out in verse 48, when many were certainly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He was a persistent beggar. And his name was Bartimaeus. It simply means the son of Timaeus. The names in the Bible, especially in the Hebrew culture, they always had meaning. And Timaeus means foul. Foul. Utterly unclean and wicked. That's the meaning of the name. And Bartimaeus is the son of the unclean and wicked. And if you would attempt to describe the condition of this son of the unclean, he is blind. The blind cannot cleanse himself or stay clean. This, you know, this is the condition of the human race that is degraded by every generation. So, the unclean and blind. This is what sin has done to the human race. And many today, they think that they are good, they are clean. They're not bad. The Bible is clear. It's saying that no one is good. All have sinned and have short of the glory, fell short of the glory of God. We are unclean and blind, and our eyes are open only when we come to the Word of God, the light of God, to hear it. Blessed is he, the Bible says in Revelation, the Gospel of Luke, blessed is he who hears the word. Bartimaeus was a type of what the sinner is by nature, blind, helplessly blind, unless the healing Savior shall interfere and pour out on him the light of day. And a couple of things that could have kept Bartimaeus blind. Number one, if Jesus would never come to Jericho, the cursed place, that would cause Bartimaeus to remain blind. And the other thing would keep Bartimaeus blind, if Bartimaeus would not take advantage of the coming of Jesus to the cursed place. And in this, you could vividly see the parallel to our world. If Jesus would not come to our world, we would remain blind. And those who do not take advantage of the coming of Jesus to this cursed place will remain blind.
Amen.
And if someone is sitting here today listening to this message, and maybe someone that will be listening this in future, visiting this channel, if you are blind spiritually or unclean because of sin, take advantage of the presence of Jesus and do what this blind and unclean man did. For Jesus came to give sight to the blind and to set the captives to sin free. This is his mission. I meet many blind people these days. They are blind spiritually. They are blind to the source of their sight. On the other hand, the source of the spiritual blindness is one person does not know Christ personally, and the fact that Jesus is longing to close us with his pure and unclean, with his pure, clean robe of righteousness. And there's another source of blindness. It is when person sees the light and chooses not to walk in it. He ends up in darkness. Hearing the word of God and not acting upon it results in blindness, spiritual blindness. Verse 47 of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, reads, "When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Here's the point number one. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What is the statement of the blind man actually suggesting or telling us about this blind man? Well, three things I could see what his statement could say to us. Number one, he believes that Jesus is the promised one, that he was to come through the line of David. He believes that. Number two, Bartimaeus realizes that he needed his sight to be restored. And number three, Bartimaeus acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah. He was aware of the statement in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, in the scroll of Isaiah, that Jesus came for that very purpose, to fulfill it, to restore the sight to the blind. This was Bartimaeus' golden opportunity, and guess what? He did not miss on it. He took a full advantage of this opportunity. Verse 48, many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus, as we see, had obstacles. Circumstances were against him. People wanted to quiet him. They did not want him to bother Jesus or to come to him. My dear friends, you may have a challenging circumstances today in your life. Everything is against you and preventing you from coming to Jesus and asking him what you really need. Or there might be some people in your life causing or saying to you not to come to Jesus or bother him with your need. Bartimaeus was a persistent and fervent beggar. In spite of the fact that many tried to sternly warn him and stop him, people ask God once or twice. They don't get the answer and they stop asking. By stopping asking, they state basically that it was not that important to them. And through this fact, God is revealing to us, ourselves, how serious we are about what we ask. What is the strength of our desire for what we ask? And the fact that some are asking, begging persistently, saying to Jesus that it is very important to them, my friend, please hear it. Verse 49. And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up, he is calling for you." Jesus stopped. He stood still. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus hears the voice of a persistent beggar. Jesus hears the voice of the persistent beggar. Call him here. When you are begging persistently, Jesus invites you into his presence. Call him here. My friends, our world is full of blind and unclean, polluted ones who need to be called. Jesus is anxious to call them, but he doesn't hear their persistent voice. These people you can meet even in the churches. So if you are sitting here today, or you will be the one that is listening in future, anything or realize that you are blind or unclean in any area of life, I have a good news for you. Jesus is calling the blind and unclean to him. Point number two, take courage. Stand up. He is calling for you. Take courage. Stand up. He is calling for you. Verse 15. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Wow. This is a powerful verse. Point number three. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Take a look at the actions of Bartimaeus, the blind, filthy beggar. The three steps that he took. Step number one, he throws aside his cloak. Step number two, he jumps up. Step number three, he comes to Jesus. Let's now break it down. Let's take a look at each one of the steps closely. It can be very applicable to us. Bartimaeus, throwing aside his garments, his cloak, his own garments, so nothing would keep him from coming to Jesus. Because one thing that hindered him from jumping up and coming to Jesus was his own garments, his own cloak, his filthy garments. I hope you hear what I'm saying. Because many today are holding on to their own cloak of righteousness. And our righteousness, the Bible says, is a filthy rag. Just as a fig leaves in the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve managed to put together, put around their waist to cover their nakedness. But the problem with the fig leaves were that they faded away. Same as our righteousness. Fading away, and it's the cloak of filthy rag. So that is why when Jesus came to Jerusalem and saw what he saw, that unfruitful fig tree, he cursed that tree. So the son of Timaeus throws aside his cloak, his own garments. And until we do the same, we will remain blind to our own need of righteousness of Jesus and need of our sight that he wants so anxiously to restore to us. So, step number two. Bartimaeus jumped up. Many today are slow to come to Jesus, but this man, this blind, unclean, he jumps up. He has heard that Jesus, the Son of David, the Messiah, is calling him. Have you heard Jesus calling you, my friend? The blind man throws aside his cloak. He is free from it, my friend. Are you free from your own righteousness? He jumped up because he has great expectation and joy. So often we are slow to move when Jesus is calling us. Let us throw aside our own cloak of righteousness. Let us come to Jesus as we are. Jesus wants to cover us with his robe of righteousness. He wants to fill our lives with real joy. And number three, Bartimaeus came to Jesus. There's three steps that he made. Verse 51. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" And blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." Point number four, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Please note, Jesus here is actually answering to the cry of the blind man. And by asking the blind man, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus is affirming and encouraging the faith of the blind in the Son of David, the Messiah. "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "Rabboni, my master, my Lord, I want to regain my sight." That's what the human race is in great need today in this cursed place. In need of realizing that we, as a human race, we need to regain our sight because the devil blinded us as he distorted the true picture of God in the Garden of Eden. We need to regain our sight so we can see and understand the character of God, so we can depend totally on God and not on the things of this world. So we can see and understand where we are in the course of history of this world. And that was outlined in the prophecies of the Bible. In many aspects of life, people are blind. people don't know what to do. Blind is leading the blind. They will both fall into ditch unless they come to Jesus. The entire world today, my friend, as it's very evident to every believer, the entire world is on the brink of falling into ditch. And that ditch is way deeper than anyone can imagine. The world is on the brink of falling off the cliff. And that's why God gave us this message to sound the trumpet, to proclaim, come out of her, my people, that you should not partake of the plagues. So Jesus says to us, what is it that you want me to do for you? Verse 52. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Point number five, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight. Jesus spoke and immediately the man regained his sight. This is how easily God can solve the human problem. The only thing he needs to do is he can speak and it will be done. You know why? That's the way he operates. In the beginning God spoke and it was done. It stood fast. By the word of the Lord, the heavens and the earth were created. His word has in itself the power to accomplish what it says, my friends. His word. It is the word of God that restores the sight. The Lord spoke, and immediately he regained his sight. The word of God, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. And in verse 52, the Bible says, and he began following him on the road. And he followed Jesus on the road. And where Jesus was going, you remember? He was going up to Jerusalem, to the city of God, to the city of peace. And it is those whose sight are restored, is restored, whose eyes are open, are the ones who follow Jesus to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the place where Jesus was persecuted the most and eventually crucified. The going to Jerusalem for Jesus was always identified with suffering and persecution. So as the followers of Jesus Christ, are we willing to go up with him to Jerusalem? If we do, if the answer is yes, take up your cross and follow him. So, if you do that, you will know the suffering of Jesus and what he had to go through to save you, to save me, to save us, to cleanse us, to restore our sight, to give us his beautiful robe of righteousness. And so this story is in a nutshell the story of Jesus and the human race that he created that came to restore after its fall. Jesus came to Jericho, a cursed place. He restores the person who realizes his need in Jesus, the promised one, and he joined Jesus on the way to the city of God. And if your sight is restored, if you join to Jesus and following him to the city of God, you are living, my friend, the cursed place, because this world is not our home. We are leaving this cursed place. We are on the way to the city of God. And whatever the position of anyone can be, it can be high position or a lowest position, it really doesn't matter to Jesus. Everyone realizing his or her need in Jesus may join him. Isn't that a good news? And do you remember who was the first person that joined God and his people at Jericho? Do you remember? It was the woman, Rahab, the prostitute. And now the man, the blind, poor man, the son of the wicked, joins Jesus. And guess what? They were not rejected by Jesus. And the good news is that whoever you are, no matter how low you may be fallen in sin, if you come to him, he said, whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast out. You will never be rejected. And while the time still lasting, my friend, do not linger. Jump up. Come to Jesus. He is waiting for you. He is calling for you. Today, some of us may be rejected by society, by friends, or even by family members. Maybe your workplace, they laid you off because of this crisis. You feel rejected. But the matter, the truth of the matter is this, that Jesus does not reject you, and that's all that matters. Jesus does not reject you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even to the very end. My friends, they're going to Jerusalem. Time may be tough, but Jesus walks with us. And Jesus talks to us through his word of upholding power. And he is leading us to heavenly Jerusalem, the city of eternal peace. So Jesus came to the cursed place. He had mercy on the human race, on us. And he leaves the cursed place. He wants you to join him on his way to the city of God. So hear his words. Take courage. Stand up. He is calling for you, my friend. If you have a need, ask him. Be persistent. Throw aside your own cloak of righteousness, my friend. Let nothing hinder you from coming to Jesus as you are. Because when you come to Jesus, you come to him as you are, but he will never leave you as he finds you. He will make you into what he declared you to be. What do you want Jesus to do for you, my friend? Do you believe that he actually can do it for you? Do you need to regain your sight so you can actually see that we are in the cursed place and this is not our home? So take courage. Stand up. Jesus is calling for you today, my friend. Brothers and sisters, he is calling for us. If this is your desire, to join Jesus or to continue to stay joined to Jesus on his way to the city of God, let us pray. Gracious one, Father, thank you. Thank you for calling us, Lord. Thank you for coming to this cursed place to restore our sight. Thank you for loving us that much that you actually took our judgment upon yourself. Our sin, our guilt, our shame. And you are offering to us your beautiful robe of righteousness. Lord, we crave for it because our own is filthy rag. We want to throw it away right now. And we pray that you will wrap it up, wrap us up in your beautiful robe of righteousness as you declared us righteous in your sight through the blood of Jesus. And now we give you permission, Lord, to make us into what you declared us to be. We open our hearts and minds, Lord, and we invite the presence of Jesus to the Holy Spirit to indwell in us, Lord. Remake us, restore us into your image that Satan have distorted in us, Lord. We surrender to you. And we pray as we place our hands in your loving hand, lead us to the city of peace, Lord. This world is not our home. Bless everyone who joined us in this session, everyone who will be joining and hearing this message, Father. Open the eyes of people, Lord. Cover them with the robe of righteousness. Give them hope. Let them understand as they open their eyes that you never forsake them, that you love them more than you love yourself, and the work that you have begun in those who believe you are faithful to complete it, and make us, in the same time, Father, your shining light, to call on people who are at the brink to fall into the ditch, Lord. Raise your church, Father. Revive your people. Empower your people, Father. Give us the boldness of Jesus that we may proclaim the message you have entrusted to us, because the time is really short, Father. May your grace work in us and through us that many souls will come to know you and be saved from this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.